a pine warbler sitting on a holly limb. He seems to have the whole morning out right in front of him. And everything he sings from the branch that he's sitting on, it seems to hush the leaves and the colors all around. Now first he sings and then he goes, and what it means, it's hard to know.
So you sound pretty educated on the Mormon faith. Was it because you wanted to learn more about Darian's faith?
Oh, entirely. I feel like we went about a lot of questions that we had about God in general together. Mm-hmm. That's actually like how we kind of became friends in the first place. When it came to Mormonism and stuff, like we are still learning, but we've just gone through so much together, and she has definitely had more time with it since she's been in school doing like stuff with apologetics and everything, and then also thinking about how to talk to her grandmother. But pretty much anything that she has learned, like, he has somewhat regurgitated to me. And then also we've just gone into things together and just went over a lot of questions. We watched a lot of weird videos, lots of weird YouTube videos.
That's like a natural path.
Oh yeah. Like, you can look up some videos about the Mormon faith that you can find dated back to the 70s, mm-hmm. that are like verifying what we're talking about. But yeah, it's definitely something that has piqued my interest as well.
And has, knowing that there's other religions and stuff like that, has that ever led, well, which God is real, you know? Because I know kind of when I was going through my skeptic phase in college a little bit, and not that I didn't believe in God, but I was just like doubting everything, mm-hmm. which is why I started the podcast. You know, Darian probably knows that listening to all from the start. But yeah, so knowing that there was other religions and stuff, man, well, how do we know that other gods aren't the God, mm-hmm. you know? And so does it actually help coming from that background, or does it hurt, do you think?
So recently my grandmother came to visit us, and her and I had gotten into a discussion about faith and Mormonism and stuff. And she was telling me like evidence that claim to, not necessarily evidence, but biblical support for Mormonism that I don't remember in what prophetic book, whether it was Isaiah or Jeremiah or some, an Old Testament like prophet, maybe it was Ezekiel. I don't know. One of the major prophets. It talked about how there was like a branch of Joseph and a branch of Judah, and they would be joined back together, and how apparently in the Mormon faith, the Israelites that basically had come to the come to the Americas, it was from the branch of Joseph. And so the Mormon faith was uniting Joseph and Judah. And like, that's like, they're like an evidence that they have. And this is the first time that I'm ever hearing of this from her. And so that just like made me like, without being prepared, and the first time I'm hearing this, oftentimes situations like that put that little bit of doubt of maybe the Mormon faith isn't entirely wrong, or maybe this faith isn't entirely wrong. I mean, there can be human reasoning to all faiths. And it was,
oh, yeah.
There's a passage in Colossians 2 that Paul writes, it's like 2:7 or 2:8, where he says, like, don't be swept up by plausible arguments that basically may sound believable, but be rooted in your faith. And it's like Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and UPC and even atheism and Hinduism or many religions sound like they could be true. And there are human arguments to everything. And while it's foolishness to God, it can sound enticing to our ears. Our itching ears is like a phrase that the Bible puts to it. So there's been doubts, especially when I've been researching other religions and Mormonism, and it just is so important to go back to scripture. And I think that somebody that doesn't doubt is like, that can be questionable, especially like with, so I would say science is one of the biggest, I quote, science is one of the biggest like reasons to doubt, that we like have all these very educated scientists who are atheists that are like Richard Dawkins and and I actually had to interview for my apologetics course 5 different people that weren't Christians and had to ask them questions of how do you believe that the earth got here, and what's the origins of man, and what is morality, like how, and like all of those almost identity questions. And reading some of the responses, like I interviewed two people that are heavily in the sciences, and it's hard to listen to that and not be shaken a little bit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but I think when it comes to having those doubts, which are completely natural, it can be very good because you can either rest in complacency of doubt and just, you know, your ears are enticed by it and you can just roll with it. You could not explore it, or you could seek the truth and really dig deeper. And really, as long as you seek the truth, like, you are ultimately going to come out stronger, closer to God, and closer to the truth.
And again, that's another reason why I started this podcast, was just because I was dealing with the doubt, and I wanted people to know that it is okay to doubt. Because a lot of times I was like, man, how am I doubting? And I still have like doubts that popped in my head some days now, and I'm just like, I used to think like, oh, this is such a bad thought. Like, why am I doubting? This is not good. How can I be so skeptical? I'm naturally, I think, just skeptical about things. So when somebody says something to me, I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a big thing for me. It's just constantly questioning my own faith, or and then having my roommate too, that was, you know, filling that in with other things that he believed. But I find so much comfort in knowing that there are people way smarter than me too that are solid Christians, you know, fully devoted Christians, scientists too, you know.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some sort of something that can come into your head. Of people can put stuff in your head and you're like, huh, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It really is. Once you come out of it. I mean, it sucks being in it. And I would say I was in it for a year and a half, just trying to research and figure it all out in my own head and trying to organize it. And it doesn't help that I'm OCD, even in keeping my apartment clean and everything. Like, I'm OCD about that. But then my mind is naturally OCD, so I can't sleep until I figure these things out either. Yep. You know? And so,
yeah, I've definitely had that before.
This would be a good spot to transition into your kind of walk with Kelly, your walk with God, and how that started and what that looks like.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in, well, my parents are Christian, more of like the, more so like my parents would go to church and stuff like that. It was more my dad. My dad would go to church and take us to church growing up and stuff, but we were somewhat complacent about it, you know, be the ones that would show up late and sit in the back, and then we would leave early. And my dad was always weird about it. It was always to avoid the singing and stuff like that made him uncomfortable. Yeah. So I grew up around Christianity. But I never like recounted a moment like where I heard the gospel. I'm sure I was around it, but just my ears weren't open to hear it or receive it.
Yeah. Or know that you're hearing it either.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah. I was just, you know, kind of there, just not even going through the motions. I was just there because my dad dragged us to church and stuff. Around my teen years, my parents got a divorce, and that was really tough on our family. And I just started kind of going downhill a little bit. That was like my middle school time. I began rebelling. And my parents actually wound up getting back together a couple years later, and I was very resentful of it. And so I just really just wandered down a road of deeper and deeper rebellion. I got into drugs and drinking and stuff like that really early on. I started smoking shortly after my seventh grade year, and it was like an everyday thing for me. Like, I would smoke weed in the morning before school every single day from like eighth grade through like ninth grade. I started getting in a lot of trouble, hanging around really bad people, and my parents started to catch on to my rebellion. I'm a middle child, so I've always just kind of like flown by under the radar, undetected. But I started getting in trouble, and so they started like testing me for marijuana in my system. So in turn, I started doing other drugs that they couldn't test. And I just really was abusing my body and my mind. And I was just going down a really, really bad road. Around this time that I sort of was peaking in my drug experimentation, like I was dropping acid, I tried cocaine, like I was doing several things. I was taking a lot of pills. My parents sort of got fed up with me, and we moved to Maryland. At the time, I lived in Colorado, like I was doing all that stuff.
Okay.
And so we moved to Maryland and away from my friend group, just really a close-knit friend group. And I was away from my typical, you know, drug dealers and my friends who could, you know, like help me get connected and get stuff. And so I like went through a really dark period and I started like taking pills and stuff, and I was depressed, and none of these pills were just prescribed to me. I was like stealing them all and stuff. It was awful. And I just went into a deep like spell of depression, and I was just very like isolated and alone. I moved in the summer, so that was like I moved and there was literally nobody. I had no friends or anything. And then started going through high school and everything, kind of fast forward for the sake of time. But I got into drinking and like going to parties and stuff really heavily. And I just kind of branched out. I was the floater. I was friends with everybody, but only like, you know, like surface level. I was always around, but you know, never really connected to people. But in my process of sort of branching out and getting connected to people and stuff, I was working at Starbucks at the time, and I had some regulars who were Christian, mm-hmm. who I was actually invited to this guy's birthday party. It was Michael Downs.
Okay.
He like sort of like halfway invited me to his birthday party. And just because I wanted to be social, wanted to branch out and meet people, I was like, heck yeah, I'm going to go. It was sort of like a half-hearted like, hey, you want to come to the birthday party? But I was like, I forced myself into it. I was like, yeah, I'm going. Mm-hmm. So
he wasn't working there with you yet.
He wasn't working there with me yet. Okay. No, him and his dad would come in from time to time. Gotcha. And stuff. And so I went to his birthday party. It was basically like we went to his house, had breakfast, and then we went to Great Falls and went hiking. And it was me and a couple of his friends who are Christian. They love, you know, like they love each other. They love me. Like this is just really refreshing and so different. And that was sort of like my first like encounter with like true Christians that I was like, there's really something here that I've never seen before in my life. And so because of that, I was just attracted to like hanging out with them. They were involved with Journey, which is the youth group at Chesapeake Church. And so I started going and forcing myself into their friend groups. At the time, I was really skeptical, but slightly before that, I would have considered myself an atheist, agnostic at best. Mm-hmm. And I started going to Journey. And I just began having so many questions, and I wasn't buying into everything right away. I was just really just kind of there because cool people were there. Yeah. Friends were there. So something different. I met an awesome guy named Scott Cottle.
He's a man.
And I would ask Scott like so many questions. I just really trusted him. And I just knew he was a great guy. No, I just met him, and, okay. And it was just like I could always talk to Scott.
He probably gave you a hug right when you met him.
Oh, too, dude. So that pick
automatically feels
my little self. He picked me up like 8 feet in the air. It felt like squeezed the life out of me. I love Scott. But he took me out for dinner or something before Journey one time. I was just like going there and asking questions and stuff like that, really there just to make friends. And he just really started pressing me, like thinking about what salvation is. Do I believe in God? If so, like, how do I stand before him and stuff? And it really challenged me so much so that I wrote down a bunch of things that I was looking up. I was looking up the word repentance. I didn't know what that meant. I was looking up salvation. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah.
I was looking up grace. I had no idea what that meant. Like, yeah. The conversation with him confused me.
Yeah.
But it was a good kind of confusion because mm-hmm. it was like, what is he talking about?
Pushed you in to do some research.
Yeah. So I went on a great app called Got Questions.
And I reference that app,
dude,
constantly.
Yeah, I was bombarding Got Questions all the time, and I was just really just going through all these questions I had, everything that I was so skeptical on. I was watching YouTube videos for days, for better or worse, mm-hmm. and I was driving myself nuts. I was staying up late. You were talking about like if I had a question, I would not sleep until mm-hmm. I met the answer to that question. I was just so like dumbfounded with the gospel. And I just remember one night I just like I thoroughly knew the gospel. I had some answers to the questions I had. I wasn't fully satisfied with all the answers to the questions I had, but I just knew in my heart of hearts that God is real, that he has created us, and that he sent his son Jesus for us. and that he has saved us from our sin, which we are all guilty of, and that there's nothing that I can do to escape from my sin. There's nothing I can do to pay back the debt that I owe for my sin. But I just knew that Christ was the payment for my sin. I just remember one night, I used to work late. I would go to school and I would work at Starbucks and I would close and I would come back and I would do my homework or sometimes just stay on Got Questions. There's one night that I was just so tired of it. I was like, God, I am yours. I am done trying to figure you out. Ever since then, my life has been completely changed. I stopped drinking and stopped having the urges to like go to parties, be accepted by people. And that was just a really amazing thing that God provided for me, like in me coming to Christ. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, I've had many struggles since then that God has helped me to overcome. But I've just known through His grace, His grace is sufficient, and through His grace, I have a right relationship with God, and it's amazing, totally amazing. Transformed my life, my wife's life, our life forever, generations to come, mm-hmm. you know, and on and on and on.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It's an awesome story, awesome testimony. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I love my husband.
Oh, how cute.
I love my wife.
All right, guys, well, thanks for coming today, and thanks for being on.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by Chew Creek Ministries. The theme song is by Roman Candle. Thanks for listening, and God bless. Leaves and the colors all around. Now first he sings, and then he goes. And what it means, it's hard to know.